the podcast may at some point change the title. If I'm paying attention to the statistics and the data, then I need to work on that optimization. Because regardless of whether it's called The Oliver Perry Show or if it's called Real Estate with Oliver Perry, if people don't enjoy the content, if they don't like what they're learning, if they're not getting value, it doesn't make a difference.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. I came up with that name because I'm not creative at all. Maybe Mr. Oliver Perry is more creative. I'll tell you a little bit about him. Back in 2005, this is when I did my very first real estate deal. I remember 2005 very, very well. I was in college. This guy was in the Army at that time, and he still is today as we record this. And he's got T-O-P-S. That's The Oliver Perry Show. What's kind of cool is he is focusing a lot on YouTube. So when he records his episodes, he records with really, really good cameras, a great background, and he's doing his podcast and repurposing it also on YouTube. Or maybe the other better way to say it is he's doing YouTube and also repurposing it as an audio file podcast. So a lot of cool stuff. He's married, two kids, and you can find the rest of his bio by scrolling down in the show notes. You can see all the different countries he's lived in through his time with the Army, including living in the state of Hawaii. What part of Hawaii were you in? Was it Oahu, right by Waikiki?
Yep, you're absolutely right. I was in Oahu. I actually lived in the city called Aiea while I was out there, and I loved it. Cool. Hawaii is a big place.
Awesome. My sweetheart and I were just visiting, and we didn't get to see Pearl Harbor this time, but it can't be far from you. Is Pearl Harbor far from Aiea?
No, it's not at all. As a matter of fact, it's right there. Pearl Harbor is literally right there around the corner. So you drive maybe 5-10 minutes to get to the base, and then you can go and see Pearl Harbor. It's really cool. You got to go check it out.
Nice. Yeah. Well, a long time ago, we saw like the sunken ship, and then we boarded a ship. This was with my parents. They took us out to Hawaii quite a bit ago, but that was cool. And I will say one thing is we wanted to get in the mountains more. We really wanted to, and we did one cool hike out there, but you've lived in all sorts of places. All that stuff, your bio is in the show notes. The link to your YouTube in the show notes, link to your website in the show notes, link to your podcast in the show notes. So, but you're also a real estate investor, which is really cool. I am as well. You've got like your goal is 625 doors, or that's where you are today. Can you share that real quick before we get started?
The aim is 625 doors. The goal for the year was, because I just achieved it, but it was 10 units. So we got to, I'm in the middle of a process of 16 unit now.
Nice.
Excited about. So yeah, man.
That's awesome.
We're moving.
I'll tell you randomly, because my mom is so funny. She's got dry humor out the wazoo. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about my mom's wazoo on the show, but I accidentally did. She's got those things coming out of her wazoo. And one thing that she did is she sent me a giant Ziploc bag, like bigger than a gallon. And all it had was like Legos, but all sorts of kinds of doors, like Lego doors, like green ones and red ones and brown ones. And she watched me open this. This is about 4 years ago. And I'm opening this package. And I'm like, I didn't understand at all. What is this? And she's like, you're always talking about how you want so many doors. So I thought I'd give you 1,000 doors. I'm like, Mom, I hate you.
I love your mom. Your mom is awesome. That is funny. I like the dry kind of humor. That's good stuff. Yeah,
that's really good. I'm like, what the F? You spend time going and getting a bunch of random doors and send them to me. Like, what amount of effort goes into this? Legos are expensive, by the way. Right. So she may as well have bought me an apartment building.
Right.
It would have been the same price.
I mean, and to think about it, she had to count them out like one by one and put them in a plastic bag. That's amazing.
She's pretty much the worst. While we're talking about my mom, I want to get off that subject and I want to talk about YouTube. I want to talk about repurposing things. And one of the things that I noticed when I was on your YouTube channel, which by the way, I have been on the show. So if you're listening and you'd like to check out that episode, it's mostly about real estate investing, but probably a little bit about podcasting too. It's an episode that got split into two segments. Feel free to check that out. We'll link to that in the show notes as well. But when I was looking at your YouTube, I noticed that I personally was impressed by and attracted with the thumbnails that you've been using. For the listener, can you share what is a thumbnail? A. B. Right. What would happen if you didn't create your own thumbnail? Why don't we start there?
Okay. So what a thumbnail is basically that photo you see whenever you're on YouTube. And even if you're on the podcast platforms, that cover art, that's the art for YouTube. We call it a thumbnail. So when you're scrolling down your feed and you're looking at the Dr. Disrespects and the super Cajus Fragilis, whatever you're watching, Harry Potter, whatever stuff you like to watch and cover, they'll always have a thumbnail. And the purpose of it is really to grab your attention and to pull you in. For the second part of it, the part of what happened, if I didn't do it myself, it'd probably be even better than it is. And I'm not tooting my own horn at all. I spent a lot of time sitting down at that thumbnail, working to figure out what made it look good, what didn't. And even now, as I've got them up there, even now you'll see some of them change and kind of shift because the platform itself continues to grow and develop. So you as a creator have to do the exact same thing. So I have taken the time to learn to figure out how I want it to be. So this way, when I offload it to the next teammate or get somebody in place who can handle that for me, I can teach them the process, teach them the template, and already have stuff in place left, right, and front and center so they can keep moving and we can continue forward.
So when I look at it, it's hard to know if this is a template or not. Now, here's the reason why it's hard to know.
Right.
The only thing that I'm seeing, and by the way, the link to his YouTube channel, as I mentioned before, is already in the show notes. So if you have the ability, if you're not driving, I don't want to be in trouble for your car accident, please be safe. But if you have the ability, scroll down, click on that. But I'm looking at the YouTube and all I can say is for the most part, it's about the same font and that font isn't even always the same color. A lot of times it looks like it's pink, but it's also been like kind of more magenta or reddish and it's been green. And so like the background is different. It's not always the same background. The name of your guest is a little bit different. You yourself rarely seem to use the same photograph of yourself, even though you're on there each and every time.
Right.
One thing, so A, it doesn't really look like a template. So I'd like you to kind of give us a little bit more information on that.
Okay.
Also, like, how do you know when to use all these different photos? Because sometimes you have them where you're pointing. Sometimes you have where you're laughing. Sometimes you have when you're surprised. Sometimes you it happens when you look stressed. And you're using all these different photos. Unless you already said this and I was like looking at your YouTube and got distracted, can you share what would happen? Like if you didn't create your own template for this, like what would show up on YouTube?
So if I didn't create a thumbnail for it, it would just pull something from the actual episode itself. So it pull a frame from the whatever video I have up. And I've done that before and I hated it. That's why you don't see it anymore because it just looked terrible. It looks really bad. Despite how great people enjoy my background, how great the background might be online, regardless, because I can't always control what happens for the guest or how the guest is set up. So sometimes it just doesn't look right. And I like to try and highlight the guests as much as possible on the video cast to allow them to be great. And it's not just about me. It's more about them and the audience than it is anything else. So that's where that comes from. For the thumbnail itself, oddly enough, the thumbnail is actually a template. What I've done, I had some design, all transparency. I graduated with a visual art and design degree. So I've spent a lot of time with design and things like that. And I love design. So it's actually, oddly enough, each piece of that thumbnail is a layer. It's all its own part. So from my photo to the guest photo, to the words, to the background, it all can be adjusted and shifted. So it, even though it's a template, it never looks like a template. The reason I did it that way was it allows a quicker workflow. So when I go in to make an adjustment, I'm a one-man show at the moment. I'm working on getting pieces and parts. I've got an audio editor. I've got a podcast guest booker guy. I don't know what you call that, what the technical term is, but you know what I mean.
It probably literally is that.
Right. Like, there you go.
And you even have to say guy at the end.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's in the fine print. So I did all that. I've got those guys in place. But with the thumbnail, I needed to figure out, as I said before, how to do it myself so I can know how to offload it. And the best way to cut down my time in doing it was to create a template that I could make interchangeable pieces. So the background can change, the letters can change, the words can change. The only things that always remain consistent is the positioning of the Oliver Perry Show as the title in the top left, and in the bottom right, the guest name. And even then, that'll shrink and expand depending on the length of the guest name. And the idea is simply to get the audience used to, oh, this is what it is. So if they're going through, let's say you're looking for Adam's episode. So if you're looking for Adam's episode, you'll scroll through. You might not be able to see Adam's name, but you can see Adam's face. Oh, okay, there's Adam. That is Adam. And you're only looking at that right side of the photo. So it's both to get you to draw in, as well as to make it easier for the viewer to find whoever they're looking for.
And you've also been doing shorts as well. So there's a full episode, which they seem to be in the 30, 40, 50 minute range.
Yep.
And then you're doing like less than 17 second short.
Yes.
Why do you do both? How does it benefit the YouTube channel if you're doing both a podcast and a video cast?
Right. So it doesn't. If I'm going to be totally transparent, I've discovered recently that it doesn't. And the reason I started it was simply to give it the opportunity. I do a lot of experimentation when it comes to the YouTube channel. I'm learning that that's the best way to do it. So I've started doing that quite a bit. So what's happening next is I'm taking those shorts down off of the channel and I'll replace them with shorts from the podcast itself.
We're going to get in trouble because you're taking your shorts down. Someone's going to like yelling at us. Hey, he took his shorts down. I got to watch the YouTube. I don't believe he's actually taking his shorts down. So what do you mean by taking your shorts down?
All right. So what's happening is I've created a secondary channel that hasn't been made public yet. And it's where all those shorts will live. And it's every short I create, because I do a lot of shorts on my Instagram and they go into Facebook as well. And they're really purely just to have fun. They've started to get a little bit of a following. So I'm working to figure out what direction that's going to go in the future. But for now, I just like doing them and they're fun. They make me laugh and it makes other people giggle, particularly with real estate. Like, we work in a serious business. Everybody's in suits and ties for the most part. And it's fun to be able to laugh at ourselves just as much as other people laugh and giggle at the stuff we kind of experience in real life. Like, a lot of these photos, these are real things that people are seeing on these shorts. And a lot of real estate investors witness it and do it in real life, but everybody doesn't get to see behind the curtains as a real estate investor. They only see the glitz, the glamour. When I've got 625 units, but they don't see me stepping over random stuff of somebody's house and climbing over a mountain full of garbage inside the middle of the living room. They don't see that kind of thing. So it's just a fun thing. So what'll happen is I'll take those down and I'll shift them over to the new channel, which I haven't quite figured out the name that'll come, but it'll just be all shorts for the podcast. Any shorts that I create will go on that channel. And it just helps analytics as well. So
if we're doing shorts, what is the right shape? The reason I ask is because I do know this. For one of our clients, we do a lot of editing and post-production for podcasters.
Right.
And they wanted to try some reels or something like that. And I remember distinctly that we made it a square automatically and sent it in, and it wouldn't take that shape.
Yes.
Like, the reel wouldn't take that shape. What's the difference between a short and a reel, and what shapes do they have to be? Are they always going to be like a vertical, like rectangle?
Yes. Yeah, so for the reels and shorts, they'll be a vertical rectangle. I believe it's 19 by 6 or 6 by 9. I can't remember. I get the two confused, but you can also put in 1080 by 1920 or 1920 by 1080. The difference is one is kind of the horizontal, one is the vertical layout. The vertical layout is the one you want when you go to the reels and the shorts. Those are the ones that are created specifically with that style for those particular platforms.
Okay. So what do we need to do differently for the shorts? All of the ones that I saw of yours, they were about like 16 seconds or so. And I'm curious if we're supposed to be doing 1 minute, 2 minute, if they need to be 15, 16, 17 seconds. What's kind of like the reason behind the length? And is it because of like YouTube distinctly saying it needs to be a certain amount of time?
Okay. So for YouTube, it's all going to be a minute and less. So if you go over 59 seconds, or actually you can do 60. So if you go 60 seconds, if you go past that, it won't read it as a short. It'll create it to be an actual YouTube video. And the same goes for the other platforms. If you go to IG, it'll turn into an IGTV. If you go to Facebook, it'll just show up as a Facebook video as opposed to a short Facebook video. Now, they don't have actual category for it yet, but they're basically run Instagram. So it's a reel, basically, is what you're doing. So what happens is you take that. And the reason that mine are 15 seconds is because the 15 second got a better, those were better received by the audience than the 30 second and 60 second. So on each platform, they have options. So when you do it, when you record via your phone for an Instagram reel, you have 15, 30, and 60 seconds. It's the same thing on TikTok. And then on YouTube, I actually record these off of YouTube. So for YouTube, I'm not sure. I'm certain it's going to be a minute, just going to limit you to a minute. So it's just easier for me to do a 15 second hit. And then the audience likes it as opposed to a full minute, where those, the ones that you see that are actually longer than 15 seconds, they haven't been as well received as the 15 second ones.
Okay. I'm curious, like if you have a 20 second clip,
yeah,
you can't really do a reel, or like if it's 20 seconds, mm-hmm. it obviously is too long for that 15, but it's also way too short for the 30. So what would happen if that's where you wanted to be?
So they'll still show up as a reel or a short. The only reason mines have been up to that 15 second is, like I said, when I looked at the analytics, the numbers just look better. People were receiving more the 15 second one than the 30 and the minute. Not to say you can't, because you can still do it and it very well may take off and hit. One thing that I've learned is you have to look at the analytics, just like with your podcast, just like with your IG, just like with anything. If you want to grow and build in whatever it is, you have to take a look at those analytics. Soccer, I'm a big soccer fan, so I'm always talking about soccer. But soccer, like, you're looking at the map. I'm looking at the heat map to see where my players are going, see how fast they're moving, how slow they're moving based on the statistics. The same thing when it comes to your reels and your YouTube. So for my YouTube shorts, once I realize, okay, I'm doing these a minute to 30 second ones, and they're not as good. They're not getting picked up and really gone after as the others. So for the 15 second ones, they'll continue to get views. One hit, I want to say 13K as a view. That was the highest I'd ever gotten. The next time I did one that was longer than 15 seconds, it only got to 1,000. So that automatically tells me, okay, clearly either something I did different in this, or it's the length. And it ended up being the length, and the length was just better at 15 seconds.
I want to talk about the title of your podcast and YouTube channel and find out like why that's the title that you created and came up with and stuck with. But I'm also wanting to maybe start just by understanding the overall big picture, 50,000 foot. Like, what is the purpose for the podcast? Why did you start a podcast? Why are you spending time doing YouTube, especially when you're kind of like a one man band, as you mentioned before, besides having somebody help you get booked on shows? A lot of your focus goes to creating content, coming up with these thumbnails and editing and selecting like 15 second shorts. It sounds like a lot of effort, a lot of work. So there's got to be a big picture, a reason behind all of it. So share that with us, and then we'll talk about the title of the podcast.
Absolutely. First of all, it is a lot of work. It's a crap ton of work. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, man, why did I start doing this in the first place? But to go to that why, I started the podcast and the YouTube channel to share my journey from two properties to 625 doors. With being in the military, being a dad, being two kids, because I know there's other people out there that are going through the same thing. And even now, the YouTube and the podcast, they're starting to evolve and to change. Because like you said, I do quite a bit when it comes to the branding and the content side of it. And I'm doing it because I'm finding I love it. But that wasn't the original thought process. The original thought process was just to share the journey and let everybody see. And now as I'm doing it, I'm realizing, okay, I really, truly love the marketing and the branding in real estate, as well as the real estate itself. So I'm slowly starting to include some of that in, because I know there's other people, like I said, other people need that help. Other people need the knowledge, particularly those who are getting started in multifamily, getting started in single family, or in the military, and they want to look at, hey, I want to invest with whatever my IRA is or my TSP, all this great stuff, but they don't know where to go. So having somebody they can look at and they can laugh with through the shorts, and they can get some education with and learn from the guests that are on those podcasts or on that platform, and then reach out to them as well, makes it advantageous for me to help them. So it's basically just that. It's been me sharing my journey and educating others as I'm learning myself. and growing in the space of not just podcasting and YouTube, but as well as the real estate world. And I've just had a really good time doing it. So as I'm doing it, the ultimate goal now is to create a platform where not only people can learn, but real estate professionals can start to offload their stuff. So as I'm figuring out how to offload my content creation burden, if you will, and not that it's a burden because I love it, but my content creation machine, I can help others do the same thing. So I can take their stuff. Hey, this is what you want to do for your IG. Hey, let's look at this for your YouTube. Hey, my team's going to put together your thumbnail, all this great stuff. But it's all in the aim to teach and to help others to do it specifically in the real estate space.
Got it. So are you doing like consulting or have a service that supports other content creators that are in the real estate space then?
So I'm starting out slow. First thing I'm doing is I'm creating a product to help them with the stuff like their background and things of that nature, because I've created this background and people love it. So I'm going to create a product to help other people to build that background. From there, we'll start branching out into doing things like the YouTube, helping with consulting and things of that nature as much as possible. But for now, I like to slow roll things. Like I said, as a solo one-man show and ridiculously ambitious for absolutely no reason, I have a bad habit of putting myself into too many things. So I have to take it slow. Otherwise, I will get swamped. I'll swamp myself automatically. Yeah. So you know how it goes. You're ambitious too. I know it.
So with you and your big why,
yeah,
it was a challenge for me to clearly understand why you're doing this.
Right.
A, I got that you're doing it for fun. B, I got that you want to help other people do it. C, it sounds like you believe it'll help grow your business in some way. What I'm really curious of is you're going from 2 to 650 doors, not Legos, by the way, but not Legos, but in this journey is why take maybe, because somebody listening is going to be thinking that it's taking their eye off the ball. Like the ball might be just closing deals. So what does having a YouTube channel and a podcast do to serve your goal of getting 650 doors? Does it help you attract passive capital? Does it help you get more credibility from sellers? Like, what is the whole reason to take your eye off that ball to be a content creator exactly?
Absolutely. So to be true, my eye is never off the ball. The ultimate aim, of course, is 625 doors. Everything becomes a proxy of that. What I realized as I started building this and started discovering who I was, I realized I was more comfortable on camera, more comfortable doing some audio style platforms and just talking and speaking about what I was doing. My thought process in that was, okay, well, I started in wholesaling and I was doing a whole bunch of cold calling and I was a terrible cold caller. I mean, bad, bad. So I was so bad, I said, okay, well, that's not working. How do I do better? So I learned about myself and that's when I discovered, okay, I'm really good on camera because I get on camera with other people who are sellers and investors. And I said, man, I really enjoy talking to you on the camera. I really enjoy that. It's the best, most fun I've had in the video call. So I decided, well, I'm going to lean into that superpower. And that's exactly what everything has become a proxy of. So originally doing everything to get to the 625 doors, I was doing it in a different way. And I realized, well, I should lean into what I'm good at. I'm good at connecting. I'm good at, like I said, video. I am a nerd when it comes to data and the analytics and the photos and stuff like that. So where can I really lean into that power? I attempted on a Clubhouse when it first came out. I hated Clubhouse. So I stopped messing with Clubhouse. So I went to YouTube and the YouTube, I just felt comfortable. It hasn't exploded by any means as of yet, but I feel more comfortable. And because of that comfort, it allows me to lean in as I still work on those weaknesses on the side, kind of behind the shadows and build that muscle, if you will, a little bit, enough that I can sustain. But in the meantime, at some point, I'll get somebody else to do that part as well as just doing that part. But the aim has really been to lean into what I'm good at. And to be honest, the overall why, it's a longer story, but basically I wanted to prove my grandmother that I can get to that 625 doors to make it fully clear and transparent. And there's a whole story behind that. And we can get into it if you like. We can talk about that story too.
Well, I appreciate you going there. I think it's important. One thing that I notice when I do hold any mastermind groups or even some that I've attended, what we do oftentimes is ask the why behind the why behind the why. We do like five or seven six whys. Levels.
Yep.
Yeah, or seven or whatever. But it's interesting what we can learn about ourselves when we ask that deeper. Like, okay, well, why that? Why is that important? And a lot of times it comes to a place where we either want to prove that we deserve something or love or get recognition, or usually there's multiple levels of why. And I think it could be helpful for all of us to do that. It sounds like you've taken the time to go there and you fully understand that. We might not talk all about it because I have a couple of other questions that are already kind of in my mind.
Absolutely.
One of them, I know you said that you're really interested in the data and the analytics and you like collecting that and paying attention to that. So that's where a couple of my questions are about to go. But first, it's talking about the title of your podcast. I believe you titled it The Oliver Perry Show. And so it doesn't really say, here's the big promise, here's what you're going to get from this show.
Right.
It's like, I think a lot of us are thinking to ourselves when we're wanting to title a podcast, some of us are like, I don't want to be pigeonholed to a certain like title or subject. And so like, maybe I'll just call it my name. And on the flip side, there's a lot of people that say, don't call it your name because you're not going to get the listeners. Unless you're already super famous, you're not going to get the listeners or the downloads that you're looking for. And I want to find out, A, are you glad you titled it that? Do you think if you did it over, would you do something else? Yeah, just kind of give us your experience of the title of your podcast and YouTube channel.
Excellent question. I am both ways about it. Sometimes I love my title because my title is my name, Oliver Perry, stands out. It just does. The catch is it doesn't stand out if you look at SEO and the SEO aspect of it. And when I say SEO, for those listening, I mean search engine optimization. And basically what that is what controls what you see when you Google things, or if you look on YouTube, YouTube being the second biggest search engine in the world, of course, after Google. So I know that if I typed in The Real Estate Show with the Oliver Perry, you see me more. Absolutely. I am again still torn, and this is something I continue to wrestle with, is that I understand that having the real estate or the topic in the title is good. I absolutely agree with you, Adam. The whole pigeonhole, I've heard that discussion several times. And the pigeonhole thing is a real thing. I didn't want to pigeonhole myself, but at the same time, at the time, I was just like, all right, I got to come up with a title. I want to do this and do this now. I have this go, 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 and smack into a brick wall. So I just went and I said, hey, I'm going to just call it The Oliver Perry Show. We'll figure out the title later and we'll just run with it. Since that time, The Oliver Perry Show has just kind of stuck. And even now, the podcast may at some point change the title, but I've decided, okay, if I'm going to keep it as The Oliver Perry Show, if I'm paying attention to the statistics and the data, then I need to work on that optimization. Because regardless of whether it's called The Oliver Perry Show or if it's called Real Estate with The Oliver Perry, if people don't enjoy the content, if they don't like what they're learning, if they're not getting something from it, if they're not providing a value in the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference. Because I call it The Oliver Perry Real Estate Show or Real Estate Show with Oliver Perry all I want. But if that content doesn't hit, if it doesn't connect with the viewer, if it doesn't provide them a value or teach them something they didn't know before, then it's useless. So with that in mind, I decided, okay, I'm going to focus on the video and optimizations for each video and how I do the podcast, or sorry, the video cast, and how I talk to the audience. And then I'll worry about the title later. My thought process is they're only going to search for my title one time. They're going to search for a crap ton of videos. So if I'm providing value in the videos, it's going to hit more often than the title itself will.
If it doesn't provide value, it's useless.
Fact.
Love it.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Fact.
Yeah. So getting into these other two questions that I had in mind, one of them was how you title episodes.
Yeah.
I noticed that your thumbnail doesn't match the, it's not to say that it doesn't go with it, but it is to say that it's not the exact name. So whatever the, like on YouTube, for example, one of them was saying something like, you can learn real estate investing and it's not as hard as you think. But in the thumbnail, it's who me? Question mark. You know, it's like, can I really do this? So you're titling it one thing, but making a thumbnail I would have expected before that they just would have been exactly the same. Here's right. your title. I'm putting it in two places. So how do you title episodes, and why is there basically like a different script right. in the thumbnail versus what the title of the episode is?
Absolutely. So, this is going to be a good one. Okay. So the title of the episode is based on whatever the main topic that I wanted to get out of the episode. So let's say we're doing one and there's marbles in a jar. It's a million marbles in this jar. And I want the audience to watch the video and learn how many marbles in the jar. First thing I'm going to do is figuring out what that thumbnail needs to be. Now, automatically from the very top of my head, I know what I'd do is I'd probably have a solid color background with a little bit of light coming from the bottom, a shadow of a jar, and a question mark over top of that shadow. The purpose of the thumbnail is to get them to stop. When you're scrolling through Netflix, scrolling through YouTube, scrolling through Disney, Hulu, shoot, even Apple Music, you can't count the number of times you stop because of an album title or because of the photo title. Perfect example, Squid Games, the most popular show on Netflix as of last week, I think it was. Squid Games had a specific picture, and when I was scrolling through, I stopped on Squid Games. So I asked myself, okay, what made me stop on Squid Games? And this is how I apply that theme, that same thought process and theory to the podcast, or sorry, to the YouTube thumbnail. For the title, I want to give them exactly what they're looking for and still give them a little bit of intrigue. So going back to the example of the marbles. So we look at how many marbles are in this jar. What do you think? Question mark. That'd be the title. So it links to the actual thumbnail, but it's not such a piece of the thumbnail that it gives everything away at the thumbnail. Like I want them to look at the thumbnail and cause intrigue.
Yeah.
And depending on the topic, sometimes I want them to get, when real estate, it's, matter of fact, let's use a real estate example. Let's say in real estate, we're talking about, let's say for whatever reason, we decide everybody's getting a 50-year mortgage, right? So the first thing you'll see is 50 years, question mark. Or 50 years, exclamation point, or I'll put a piece of paper that looks like somebody who's signing, a photo looks like somebody signing a document, and it'll say 50-year mortgage, but it won't give them more than that until they get to the title, until they go and watch the video. So that's how it works. One's intrigue, one's to provide a little bit of information on what the video is to help them decide, okay, I'm going to click on this, and the rest is to keep them there.
I like that you say the purpose of the thumbnail is to get them to stop. I do... Absolutely. On this podcast, mm-hmm. in multiple times, we've talked about working with social media, mm-hmm. and it's very similar. Like, we always want to have some type of hook, and there's different things that can get somebody to stop, like question marks, something very interesting, like you're making a face, right. like you're surprised about right. something. Somebody's like, why is he making that face? What's right. going on? And so it's really like inciting some curiosity in the viewer, the person who's scrolling. And I like when you say get them to stop. I want to say it's to get them to stop what? To stop scrolling. Because we're like mundanely just like we're passing by a ton right. of YouTubes. Like most of us when we're on social media, we're like, okay, that guy told me something random. That's cool. Maybe I'll like it, but they're going to pass. But if there is a question mark or a photograph of something that makes us feel curious, or makes us start to think, then either way, we are likely to stop the scroll. And I think it's important to mention, why is it important to stop the scroll? There's two reasons. Obviously, mm-hmm. they're stopping.
Yep.
But secondarily, with algorithms that some social media platforms, and I assume YouTube has the same algorithm, mm-hmm. when you have somebody who stops, that automatically gets calculated into the algorithm, and they decide, okay, something is about this. Let me put it in front of more people. So there's an extra added benefit, right?
Absolutely. No, that's the absolute fact. What's interesting is people don't realize, or we as creators and real estate investors and people who work in our atmosphere don't sometimes understand that it's actually easier than you think to do this. You do it all the time. Most of us, if not all of us, are creating content or creating a way to stop the person who you used to be or the person who's like you. So all you got to do is look at what makes you stop. If you stop at a picture that's bright red, then you can safely assume that other version of you who's out there figuring it out, trying to get to where you're at, they're going to do the same thing. So it's not as difficult as we make it sometimes to get people to stop. And just like you said, when the algorithm hits, if you get them to stop, five, six times, then it's going to just push up your thumbnail, push up your video. So that's the first thing they're going to do. And then God forbid they start clicking on it. Oh, Lord knows they start clicking on it. Then you're definitely going to be set. But it all starts with figuring out who that avatar is, figuring out who that person is you want to talk to, and just build the conversation to talk to them.
Yeah. I think it's important to pause for a moment, definitely to talk with you, Oliver, but also to make sure that the listener completely understands this is not a real estate investing show.
It's not. Correct.
Oliver's mentioned a lot of times, like all these insider things. I wholesale properties, or I want all these doors. Many's also mentioned a couple of times, like examples, as real estate investors, we do this. And I know you're probably not a real estate investor. You're probably a life coach, or you have a different type of business. You serve podcasters. Whatever it is that you're doing, these things can apply to you as well. So I don't want anyone to feel like, hey, you're left out because you're not into real estate. You don't have to be into that. This is the podcast on podcasting, and about anything that your podcast is going to be about or is already about. And I hope that even though I have some real estate, Oliver is doing real estate and growing, I don't want you to feel like you have to be in that real estate investing. And I say that because you're going to have your show as well. Like one of these days, you're going to have your show, or maybe you already have it. And maybe you've in some way made some major listener kind of feel left out because you're using like lingo. I loved how Oliver mentioned SEO. And then he said, by that, if you're listening, I mean search engine optimization. It's important that you also try not to leave your listener out. And that's one of the reasons why I definitely want this to be recorded. I could have paused and said, Oliver, stop saying real estate investors. This isn't a real estate show. But I wanted you to get something out of it as well. Like, you're going to accidentally leave out some of your listeners when you have your podcast. And I want you to intentionally try not to do that. So that's to you, if you're listening. I just want to pour into you and let you know that you're going to do it on accident. You're going to say SEO. You're going to expect that everybody has kids like you, or you're going to expect that everybody, whatever. So just be really cautious not to let your listener feel left out, or like, maybe I'm listening to the wrong show. You may have been thinking, man, I'm not a real estate investor. Should I stop listening to this episode? No, you should definitely keep listening. I just wanted to pause and mention that. So, Oliver, tons of good feedback and thoughts about titling episodes. I'm curious, because you're such a data junkie, you've noticed about the length of episodes. You did talk about like the reels, and you got better traction with a 15-second reel. Right. I'm looking at this and I'm realizing, you mentioned Clubhouse earlier. I don't even know if anybody's still on Clubhouse, by the way. I don't even know. I haven't been on in so long. But you brought it up and I thought it was interesting. When I was on Clubhouse, when I was on that platform, and I was doing a lot of content for podcasters, and people always came to me when we were doing Q&A. And they would say, Adam, what's the perfect length of an episode? I know my answer. But I'm really curious, like, what you're thinking with data and analytics and your own personal opinion. I might give a little bit of insight on what I've noticed as well. But Oliver, like, with all of your experience on YouTube versus podcast, what's the right length?
So before I get into the length, Adam, to the listener, I apologize. It is a super habit that I have of doing the whole real estate thing. 100% agree with what Adam's saying. Make sure you understand that anything that I say or anything that you hear on Adam's podcast is all about podcasting. All these statistics, all these techniques, all this can be applied to whatever platform you want to use it on, particularly with podcasting. Now I'll get into the stats to help you there as well. So here's what I discovered when looking at my statistics. So for YouTube, I look automatically directly at my statistics. And the first thing I want to see is for YouTube is, where does the audience drop off? At what point do they stop watching the video? So for me, I know it's around 9 minutes. So I know I'm not going to change the format itself of the podcast or the video cast. So I'm going to keep it the length around 30 minutes. I've actually decreased it from an hour and some change to 30 minutes or 30 to 45 minutes. I'm still working on that part. 30 to 45 minutes is what I've changed it to, but I know my audience is going to drop off at 9 minutes. So what do I do? Well, the first thing I do is I start creating clips that are 9 are 0 to 8 minutes in length. So when I get a guest and they're talking about a point, I'll include a clip that maybe has one or two specific questions, and that's a clip. And I'll link that clip to the full episode. So the idea is to give the people what they want, and they are going to want more on their own. There's a reason that Joe Rogan is able to put a 3-hour episode on now. Let's be honest. Nobody is going on to like a brand new YouTube or podcast and looking at a 3-hour long interview unless you're interviewing Barack Obama, Jay-Z, Beyonce at the same time. Maybe Michael Jackson comes out the grave, God rest his soul. He does an interview with you. That's something different. Like, yes, you can pull off a 3-hour episode there. But even then, people have to find it. And the likelihood that they find an episode and they see, oh, there's 3 hours and say, oh, I'm going to watch that or I'm going to listen to that, is really slim. So you give them what they want. The only way you can discover what they want, though, is you just put stuff out. This is the reason why you hear so many people teach content and teach podcasting and YouTube and just say, hey, put something out now. It's better done than it is perfect. The reason is because you're never going to be perfect, particularly when you start off. You'll get closer to it later on down the line, but there is no perfect in this game. We figure it out and we adjust, because the part of that everybody doesn't get is that just as you're changing, the world around you is changing. So it's going from a hip-hop oriented world to a jazz oriented world, or from rock and roll to swing music. It's all going to adjust and develop as the days go by. So your show, your podcast, your YouTube has to do the same thing. So looking at the stats is what I discovered that for YouTube. And I discovered similar for the podcast. The podcast actually lasts a little bit longer, so closer to 10 minutes. But even then, like I said, I'm not going to change the format. So what do I do? Well, now I started doing FAQ sections of the podcast. So I'll do an interview. And I'm sorry, Adam, I didn't get to do FAQ with you. We'll get you back on. We'll do that later. So what I'll do is we'll do an FAQ, quick, frequently asked questions of whatever the guest specialization is. And then that'll be its own episode. Additionally, I do a recap episode. So I do an episode where I talk about what I discussed with the guest and what I pulled from it in hopes and prayers, not only that I help the listener, but as well, I ask him, hey, what did you learn? Let me know in the comments. Let me know however you got to update me. Let me know what you got of it. Let's learn and grow together. So making it less about Oliver Perry, more about the guest, more about the audience, and more about helping them grow. And I just grow by proxy. So yeah. Getting back to the stats piece, looking at the stats, just adjust everything you do based on those stats, but do not let that stop you from doing now, because it will be more later.
Yeah, good stuff. With that said, it's interesting that you've looked up the drop-off rate on podcasts, and it was like around 10 minutes. For me, what we've been looking at is there's a lot of people that listen to the full podcast, but are less likely to listen to, I guess, watch the entire episode on YouTube. It just seems like people are more likely to listen to the whole thing if it's audio only and they're multitasking, versus if they have to sit down and watch it. Maybe a long form interview is a little bit harder to do. And so I definitely want to point that out. Another thing, a lot of people, when they come and they ask, like, how long should these be? Should these be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20, 25? Should they be over an hour? My thought is always start with who is listening, like figure out who your listeners should be and pull them, like give them a poll, figure out what they want, understand how they think. Do they want stuff to be short and concise? Do they want more of a time to just kind of get a bunch of content? What is it that they're looking for? And when you understand that, you can really give it to them. So recently, my team, because we do a lot of editing and post-production for like podcasts and YouTube and stuff like that, we've started doing something where the whole podcast, it goes out like full. But when it comes to YouTube, we have offered for the exact same price and everything, instead of doing the full length, the entire episode, we've asked some of our clients if they would like us to do shorter ones where I'm talking a minimum of 30 seconds, a max of 6 minutes, like a 2 to 3 minute usually. And a lot of our clients have been like, yeah, why don't we test that? And it's working a lot more, like 3 times better than their 30, 40, 50, 60 minute episodes, these 2 to 5 minute. And we've decided to put like a call to action on it. Right. So that their podcast can grow. So it's like, listen to the whole episode here, and it gives like an Apple podcast link, for example, and it's seeming to work really well, and they're getting more podcast listeners. I thought I'd bring that up, but for me, what I do, I'll share my stuff. Every other episode is an interview, and on the opposite is just usually me pouring in. The interviews are 30 to 60 minutes, and the me pouring in is usually about 5 to 10 minutes. And I love it because it's much easier for my listener to like listen to a 5 or 10 minute one. And here's the biggest benefit. They're listening to multiple episodes at a time.
Right.
Perry, you mentioned another benefit to having somebody be able to listen to multiple episodes at a time. What I like that you mentioned is you take that same interview, for example, with Adam Adams, you might split it into two. You might also do a Q&A portion, and you might additionally do a callback to it where you do just share some takeaways from it, and then that you pour into that. And what I love about that is if somebody's interested in the episode that they're listening to now, it's so beneficial that you are saying, oh, well, that was on the last episode, or, hey, this came from episode 100, or I want to recap some of the things that I learned from this episode. And I call that a call back. A callback makes it so that you're having one person who's interested in this one listen to two or three or four. I thought that was really smart of you to be doing that. And I love that you also took the analytics to that 9 minutes. And I'm sorry, but I need to say one last thing. There are times at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning that I'm on YouTube and I will not touch it if it's above 9 minutes. In fact, I don't want to touch it if it's above five. If it's over 5 minutes, I'm like, no, it's late. I need to go to bed. But the most embarrassing part of that is I wouldn't do a 12-minute episode. I wouldn't watch a 12-minute video.
Right.
But I'll go, sure as heck, watch 5 9-minute videos. It's like, what is it? What am I thinking?
Yeah, that's wild.
I totally get pulled in. I'm like, oh, it's not even 10 minutes or it's not even 5 minutes. It's easy to listen, watch this episode. So a lot of cool things. Now, Perry, I want to end the episode with you just sharing. Now, it'll be great if you can serve anybody who's listening to have better like thumbnails and help them with their content.
Okay.
But in particular, what would be like your parting advice to the listener who is planning on doing like YouTube and podcast?
Okay. For those of you who are looking to do YouTube and podcast, pick one first and then integrate the other. The biggest lesson that I learned, I actually started the podcast first, realized that I enjoyed the podcast, but I thought that the video was going to be better for my podcast. So it shifted into a YouTube and then podcast. And even then, all of my data look is for the most part focused on YouTube as podcasting is a secondary. And the reason you do this is if you want to grow something large and amazing and this great thing, this great machine, if you will, you have to build the foundation first. No one is listening to a podcast that doesn't have a path, doesn't have a mission, doesn't have something that's the basis of that platform. So if you go from YouTube to podcast, podcast to YouTube, YouTube to podcast, YouTube, you're not working out the muscle that you need to work to build up one. You're working to build up both. And it's okay to build up both. It just takes a lot longer as far as the time frame is concerned. So decide on which platform you want to use first. Then you can go and build on the other platform as that one gets more comfortable. The funny part is, what you don't realize is you're actually building both at the same time. You're just looking at one area first. Your audience isn't going to change when you go to YouTube from podcast. They're just looking at a different platform. So little habits will change. Like I said, I've got 9 minutes on one, 10 minutes on the other. That's a minute difference. That's not that much of a difference. And the reason is, it's the same people just looking at different platforms. And this way, when you do this, like I said, you're building that foundation. You're building everything you need to know to do that and to get to that. So that's my advice there. For those who are looking to create content and you want to get into this thing and you want to be great, very first thing I want you to do, and I'm going to give you a step-by-step here. I'm going to tell you how to find out what your avatar, the person who you're looking to talk to, is saying and what they're doing. Go to Reddit, type in whatever the person, whatever field they're in, whether it's real estate, whether it's soccer or tying shoes in competition or cup stacking. I don't care what it is, type it in and then look at what the people are saying. After you've done that, I want you to go to YouTube. Do the same thing. Watch a video. And as you're watching that video, I want you to scroll through the comments. Look what people are saying. Answer the questions and talk about the topics that they're talking about. That's going to get you the audience you're looking for. That's step one. And that also kind of orientates you to what they're interested in, what they like. The more you engulf yourself in the culture of your audience, the more the audience engulfs itself in you. It's that simple.
Awesome. All right, man. We are going to jump off the episode. And Perry, I want to thank you for the time and attention, sharing the analytics that you've gotten, the pros, the cons, the YouTube and the podcast. I want to encourage, if you're listening, check out Oliver Perry's show. It's like two first names. Check out Oliver's show. And additionally, I will see you on the next episode. It'll be just me pouring into your business. I'll see you there.
Let's go.
By the way, one way to ensure that you don't miss out on great content that we're producing on a regular basis is to make sure you're subscribed to the show. You need to be subscribed or following the Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to it in order not to miss all of that. And before I let you go, I need to mention, because a lot of people are asking, do you help? Can you help me with this? And the answer is yes. My company actually does it. It's called Grow Your Show. And you can find that at growyourshow.com. Our clients, they call us the easy button for podcaster because they simply have to record their episode. And they know that every single thing else is done for them. We sweat the hard stuff so you can be the star of your show. And if you would like help to make sure that we're editing and publishing and promoting and doing your social media, it's all in one place. And I think it's pretty affordable. You'll have to take a look for yourself. Just go to growyourshow.com and check us out. And by the way, I'll see you on the next episode.